Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Fueled by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. The perfect blend to kickstart your day. Barista quality coffee available at Centra and Supervalue.
Okay. Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Fueled by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. The perfect blend to kickstart your day. Barista quality coffee available at Centra and Supervalue.
Jennifer Zamparelli, 2FM, good morning. So how do you talk about a child who lived inside you, whose body you have held in your arms, but who almost no one else will ever meet? Well, my next guest suffered unimaginable, you know, grief when her first child was stillborn. Having written a book documenting the experience and the grief that came after, she's on the line now to offer hope to anyone who has gone through it. Emma Hansen, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you for having me.
Anytime. Now, you're in Canada, so thank you so much for getting up at this ungodly hour. So let's talk about your book. The book came out just recently, and the reaction to it has been so positive. It all started with a blog you did after your baby son passed away. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. Yeah, I wrote a blog post shortly after he was born, which unexpectedly went viral. And then, you know, one thing led to another, and that inspired the writing of the memoir, which was out last month.
Can we go back to 2015, if I may? And you found out you were expecting, and like any woman, it was an exciting and scary time. Is that right?
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's hard to describe how everything can change. And it was immediately, you know, this incredible experience where everything was new, and all of a sudden you're not alone in your body, and you're learning more about yourself and about this being that's growing inside of you. And yeah, I truly am one of those people who, you know, loves being pregnant, and you know, for all the difficulties that come with it, I really did enjoy it. And I kind of felt like I'd fallen into this calling, like something finally clicked, like, okay, this is what I'm meant to do, you know, motherhood. It felt very right. And yeah, I look back on that time with a lot of fondness.
Emma, can I ask you, were there any signs in the pregnancy that things weren't right?
No, it was a freak accident that happened while I was sleeping when I was 39 weeks and 6 days pregnant. We found out after Reed was stillborn that his death was caused by a true knot in his umbilical cord. And it would have been, and I felt him kicking the night before, you know, well past midnight, keeping me up as I was trying to go to sleep.
And all normal stuff, yeah.
All normal stuff. And I really had an uneventful pregnancy, and was really grateful for that. And yeah, I just woke up at 39 weeks and 6 days pregnant, and didn't feel a move more.
The way you have detailed your experience in the hospital is just heartbreaking. The nurse who helped you had gone through the same experience.
It was my midwife, actually, who delivered Reed. She had experienced the loss of a child as well. And I was told, you know, when we first met that was part of her story as well, that she knew loss. And the support that brought to my experience, it was incredible. And you know, I can't speak to what my experience would have been otherwise, but just knowing that there was someone there who knew what I was feeling without having to really say anything at all was huge. And there was just kind of an unspoken understanding between us. And she really did shape that experience. And, you know, I think, yeah, having someone be part of that story who knew loss and just, you know, knew how to move through some of the decisions we had to make and you know, what came after leaving the hospital. Yeah, I had wonderful care. And, you know, there, when I look back, the only things I regret are the things that I didn't know were possible. And, you know, I only didn't know they are possible because the people in the room didn't know it was possible. And, you know, there's so much room for education and, you know, improved care for bereavement care when it comes to loss and stillbirth. And that's kind of the hope in eventually publishing, you know, what became my book. Because
a very important book, because women who go through this, and it is quite common, you know, they, some of them are, I'm not going to say lucky enough, but some of them have very different experiences. There's two people in my family I'm thinking of, my mother and my sister went through the same thing and had a completely different experience because they didn't meet anybody who'd gone through it or had any experience in this kind of thing. What happened when you returned home?
So we left the hospital a day after Reed was born, and you know, I just felt so alone because, you know, my midwife had experienced loss. It wasn't stillbirth, but it was loss. And so I was looking for someone who had experienced something similar. I needed to know that I wasn't alone because I felt so alone. And, you know, before experiencing stillbirth myself, before that became part of my story, I can't recall ever having even really heard the term. I'm sure I had, but it didn't register, and I hadn't heard anybody in my own you know, social circles who had experienced it. So I kind of felt like, you know, why me? Am I the only one? Did I do something? You know, was this my fault? And so I started to write, just trying to figure out, you know, what had happened, and then to try to create some kind of order from it. And then as I was writing, I realized what I was writing was a birth story. And, you know, I was sharing parts of my pregnancy online at the time, and I had always planned to share Reed's birth story. And I thought, you know, he was still born. This is still a birth story, you know, and still share this. And so I ended up publishing it about a week after.
When you became pregnant again, could you ever relax? I mean, what was that like?
Yeah, it was, you know, I kind of thought it would go one of two ways. Either I would, you know, not be able to relax and be, you know, panicking every second because, you know, you're carrying this life inside you, but you don't really know what's going on. And from my experience, it was, you know, I couldn't see that there was a knot. I couldn't see what he was doing. And so there was, I felt like there might always be that kind of narrative in my mind that, you know, something's going to go wrong. Is something going wrong now? Or I thought I would try to celebrate and try to live in the moment and do what I could and control what I could, knowing that I can't control everything. And I think that, you know, care does need to be different when you're pregnant again after loss, because that experience is different and you're kind of in that state where your trauma happened, and having someone who understands how care might need to look different. So, you know, for me, I had an obstetrician who specialized in pregnancy after loss, and, you know, I had her cell number. So if I did need to go in for a quick scan just to make sure everything was okay, then, you know, I could do that. Or, and then, you know, as the pregnancy progressed, that anxiety definitely grew because I was getting closer to that point where we died. And what was part of my care plan was that the pregnancy wouldn't go past 38 weeks. It's usually standard care here in Canada that at 38 weeks you will be induced if it's safe enough, if that's the right decision.
Can I ask you, how can we help friends or family who've been through this? What would you, do you have any advice?
I think that, you know, the best thing we can do for a loved one who is grieving is to meet them where they are. And if they are in pain, to meet them in that pain and not try to rush through their grief, because, you know, grief isn't linear and it's not predictable and there's not an order to it, I don't believe that there's an end to it. I think it goes in, there's phases and it's not always all consuming. But I think that to support someone who is grieving, is, you know, you need to meet them where they are and validate their experience and, you know, acknowledge that what has happened to them is significant and life altering. And it can, you know, it can be sending messages, giving them a call. If you're looking for something, you know, practical to do, you know, instead of just offering to do something or ask, you know, telling them that they're there to do something, is to be specific. So if, you know, you want to bring a meal, you can suggest a specific time of day or offer two different times on a specific day and ask them to just choose one time, because, you know, you don't know what you need when you're in that deep grief. Mm-hmm. And you're probably not going to pick up the phone and message someone.
Some really good advice there, because I think a lot of people, especially Irish people, we avoid it. We avoid people. We don't know how to deal with grief. We don't know how to deal with people who are grieving, on the most part anyway. Can I ask you, how's life now, Emma?
Things are okay. I mean, it's weird to be like things are okay, because, you know, when you speak about joy after loss, I think there's this real fear that when you do so, it kind of leads into this false belief that, oh, you are okay now. So that grief, that trauma doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Or that, you know, if that's attached to that loved one, then, you know, what place does that loved one have in your presence? So I think that's, you know, an important thing to note is that, you know, you can be joyful and be okay and be, you know, loving life with, you know, for me, my two youngest sons, the older one who is, you know, Reed's little brother, who's 3.5, and then the youngest one who is just about 6 months. And, you know, I can be loving this phase of life and also still be grieving Reed. They can happen at the same time, and, you know, not one, you know, would invalidate the other any more than the other would. So, yeah, it's, life is chaotic and hard,
it's
and also
going.
Beautiful,
yeah.
And wonderful, and yeah, you know, Reed definitely has a place in our present.
Absolutely, and this is such an important book. It's in a really important read, I think, for everyone. So Still, A Memoir of Love, Loss and Motherhood is available now on Amazon. Emma Hansen, thank you so much for taking the call, and best of luck with everything, and stay safe, okay?
Thank you for having me and for helping to open up conversation.
Thanks, Emma. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
You too. And can I just say, if you've been affected by this conversation, please visit felacon.ie, which is Stillbirth and Neonatal Death Association of Ireland. We'll be back right after this.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.